Well, at Christmas time, I mentioned last week that we celebrate the fact that God came to this earth, Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born. The child that was born speaks of Christ's humanity. Isaiah 7 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The child that was born was in fact God who is with us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is fully God and fully man. When Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 4, he said, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So God came born of a virgin, Hebrews 2 verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So the Lord Jesus Christ came through the seed of Abraham, and he was fully human, yet without sin. Jesus experienced a human birth through Mary's womb. Jesus knew what it was like to grow up as a child. The Lord Jesus knew what it was like to work, to learn a trade. The Bible says in Mark 6, verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So the Lord Jesus, he was known as a carpenter. He knew what it was like to work for a living. He knew what it's like to live in a family, to have brothers and sisters. He knew what it was like to be under parental authority. God himself humbled himself and became a man. Jesus knew what it was like to suffer. He suffered emotionally. He suffered physically. He suffered hunger. He suffered temptation. He suffered being misunderstood. The Lord Jesus suffered grief. He suffered abuse. He suffered betrayal. He suffered agony. And he suffered death on the cross for our sins. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Isn't it wonderful that God became man? And God became man to show the face of God to people, but not only to show the face of God, to bring the redemption of God to all mankind with Jesus' death on the cross. The Lord Jesus was fully human, and yet he was fully God. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus knew what it was like to be tempted. The Lord Jesus knew what it was like to be misunderstood. The Lord Jesus knew what it was like to go through painful agony. The Lord Jesus became man for us. The maker of the earth came to the manger on the earth some 2,000 years ago. When John wrote about the humanity and deity of Jesus, he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was God manifested on this earth. The invisible God became visible man. And when people saw Jesus, people saw God. When people looked into the eyes of Jesus, they were actually looking into the eyes of God. When people felt the touch of Jesus, they actually felt the touch of God. When people heard the words of Jesus, they were hearing the words of God Almighty. When people experienced the love of Jesus, they're actually experiencing the love of God. When people saw Jesus suffering, they saw God suffering. When people saw Jesus on the cross being crucified for our sins, they actually saw God on the cross being crucified for our sins. Hebrews 1:8 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom." That's a very interesting verse here, because God the Father is calling God the Son God. God the Father is stating the deity of the Lord Jesus. Let me read it again. "But unto the Son, he," that's God, "saith, Thy throne, O God," this is what the Father is saying, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom." That is God the Father speaking to God the Son. And he's calling God the Son God. And he's telling us that he has a throne. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom." When Paul wrote to Timothy, he indicated that Jesus was God manifest in human flesh. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." God was manifest in the flesh. And God was received up into glory. When did that happen? It happened at the ascension of the Lord Jesus. God was received up into glory. He came from glory, he came to earth, and he was received back up to glory in his ascension. You know, when Jesus was on earth, people worshipped him. They worshipped the Lord Jesus. And you know, the Jews knew that they were not to worship anyone but God. But the Lord Jesus allowed worship of himself. And Matthew 8 verse 2, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So there we see a leper worships the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 14 verse 32, we see the disciples, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The disciples worshipped the Lord Jesus. There was a Canaanite woman who worshipped the Lord Jesus. You find her in Matthew chapter 15 verse 25, and the Bible says, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." A Canaanite woman worshipped the Lord Jesus. Do you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses, that they deny that Jesus is God? When they come knocking on your door, they're not the only ones that have a wrong view of the Lord Jesus. The Mormons have a wrong view of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that deny the deity of the Lord Jesus. The Mormons, as I mentioned, have a wrong view of the Lord Jesus. And the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a wrong view of the Lord Jesus. You know, when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door, I encourage you not to be rude to them, but I would encourage you not to invite them into your house. Don't invite them into your house, and don't buy their magazines. Even if you want to be kind, and I know there are people that don't want to be rude to Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't really want to entertain them, so they buy their magazine and hopefully they hope that they'll go away. Don't buy their magazine. You know why? Because if you buy their magazine, you are putting finances into a false gospel. Don't buy their magazine. Don't let them into your house. But I think you should be willing to actually witness to them. The Bible warns us of deceivers. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Don't have them into your house. Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So when a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, I don't believe that we should be rude to them, but I believe that we should actually try and give them the gospel. We should try and give them the hope that we have. 1 Peter 3 verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We should be people that have, when people come to our doors and they have a wrong idea of the Lord Jesus, we should be able to present the gospel to them. We should be able to speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now, if the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door this December, I'm going to give you a couple of questions to ask them. The first question that you could ask them is, do you worship Jesus? Just ask them that. Do you worship Jesus? Now, if they're a Jehovah's Witness educated in their doctrine, they will say no. And you can actually look up jws.org, and jws.org says this: we do not worship Jesus as we do not believe that he is Almighty God. Very clear. And it's quite easy to say to them, well, look, I've looked up the internet and this is what jws.org teaches. We know that you don't worship Jesus and we know that you don't believe that Jesus is Almighty God. And then what I would say is, I would say, could I show you Matthew chapter 2? And you open the Bible, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? To worship him. These wise men had travelled hundreds of miles to worship the Lord Jesus. So you take them to that passage. It's very easy to remember. Where's the Christmas story in Matthew? Well, it's Matthew chapter 2. Take them to that passage there. And then further on in verse 10. When they saw the star, this is the wise men, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now you say to them, as I go through my Bible, starting with the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2, people worshipped the Lord Jesus. And other people worshipped the Lord Jesus, including the disciples. Ask them, what race were the disciples? Well, the disciples were Jews. Well, did the Jews know about proper worship? Yes, they knew about proper worship. Who did the Jews worship? Well, the Jews only worshipped God alone. They knew that the Jews knew the Ten Commandments, and so they were to worship no one else but God. Now, I want you to see in Matthew chapter 2 there, again, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Mary allowed worship of her son, the Lord Jesus. She didn't say, stop to the wise men, don't worship him. She allowed the worship of her son. Now, Mary knew God's commands, and Mary knew that only God was to be worshipped. Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Mary was a godly Jewess, and she knew that only God was to be worshipped. And she allowed the worship of her son because her son was God incarnate. The wise men travelled hundreds of miles to worship God incarnate who'd come in the person of the Lord Jesus. Then take the Jehovah's Witnesses to Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Tell the Jehovah's Witnesses that the one born here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah, some 700 years before, said that the one that was born was God Almighty, the Almighty God. He was the Everlasting Father. He was the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ was in existence before he came to earth, born of Mary. John makes that clear. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, existed prior to his birth through the Virgin Mary. He pre-existed his birth. Why? Because he is the eternal God. Isaiah there also looks to the fact that he will reign in Isaiah chapter 9. There is going to be a future reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the supreme ruler over all the earth. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There are cults today that will knock on your door and they deny the deity of the Lord Jesus. You know, there are even theologians that deny, they call themselves Christian theologians, and they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Isn't that disgusting? That there are theologians in theological colleges. I was listening, it was to the radio the other week in my car, and there was a theologian from a university, I won't name the university, and I listened to the radio interviewer interviewing this lady, and what she was saying was absolute garbage. It was trash. And yet she was a theologian at a university, teaching her trash to her students. There are people in cults that deny the deity of the Lord Jesus, and there are people that call themselves Christians in theological colleges that deny the virgin birth and even deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. How terrible. Isaiah says here that the one to come would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you know the Lord Jesus was a wonderful counselor? Luke 2, verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So at the age of 12, Mary and Joseph took the Lord Jesus up to Jerusalem. 2:47 says, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." This is talking about the Lord Jesus at the age of 12. Remember, he goes to Jerusalem with his parents and they end up leaving him in Jerusalem, and they end up missing the fact that he's not with them, so they journey back. And the Lord Jesus is teaching those people that are coming to hear him, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So there, the Lord Jesus at the age of 12 is astonishing people with his wisdom and counsel. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, John 7:40. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Now, this is talking about Jesus' ministry as an adult. Others said, "This is the Christ." The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Wonderful Counselor. Jesus on earth was a wonderful teacher. He was a wonderful counselor. And today he is still the wonderful counselor. He can sympathize with us like no one else because Jesus has walked in our shoes, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus was a wonderful counselor on this earth. He's now a wonderful counselor in heaven. And he can sympathize with us as we go to him in prayer. He understands how we feel as human beings. He understands grief. He understands rejection. He understands when the family don't understand you. He understands all our ways. He understands temptation. He lives on this earth as fully God and fully man, yet without sin. We have a man in the glory who understands. He counsels us even today. How does he counsel us? Through his word. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus counsels us today through his word. Jesus counsels us through his people. Proverbs 11:14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." It's a wonderful thing to be able to go to a godly woman or a godly man for counsel. And when that godly woman or godly man take you to the Word of God and teach you the Word of God and advise you based on the Word of God, Jesus still counsels us today through his Word and through his people. Jesus directs and comforts us also through his Holy Spirit. John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all things that I said to you." When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." The wonderful counselor gives us his word, gives us his people, gives us his church, and gives us his spirit to counsel us today. Isaiah said also that the Lord Jesus would be mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Jesus makes peace with God and man. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ brings peace with God, and he brings the peace of God into our lives. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Here's a question for you. Do you have peace with God? Peace with God only comes through the Lord Jesus. Acknowledging Jesus as your Saviour, acknowledging that he went to the cross for all your sins, acknowledging that you are imperfect and Jesus is perfect and the perfect one suffered for the imperfect on the cross of Calvary. Do you acknowledge that you have peace with God? And if you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God as you trust him every day of your life, as you trust him in every circumstance, as you know that he is a wonderful counsellor, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ did not begin in the manger. Jesus was the eternal God manifested in the manger. If you miss the fact that God himself, the maker of the universe, came to a manger, then you miss the most important, wonderful truth that we proclaim at Christmas. We proclaim that God was manifest in human flesh, that the Maker dwelt in a manger made by man, that the Maker came to redeem man and to bring us back to God. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Everything that God is, Jesus is. He's not just another child that was born 2,000 years ago. He was God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the deity of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We thank you that your glory was manifested in the person of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, help us to take the great news of God manifested in the flesh to a sinful world this Christmas. Lord, there are so many people that know of a historical Jesus, but they don't know that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Redeemer. Help us this Christmas to be an effective witness for your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.